Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Our message today comes from the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 42. That is Luke, the 22nd chapter, 42nd verse. Mm-hmm. It reads as follows. This is Jesus talking. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Okay. Amen. Okay. I want to speak today on the topic, the true servant. Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you some background on this scripture, if I may. Jesus was headed to the cross to pay the ultimate price. He knew that his death would be brutal. So Jesus prayed to God and asked if he could die in a less brutal way or not die at all. Mm-hmm. His next statement says it all. It says, not my will, but thine will be done. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus was a servant of God. Would y'all agree with me? Mm-hmm. His entire mission was to do the will of God. He had no other agenda. He used this platform to speak about God and to perform many miracles. Not once did Jesus give his own opinion and do it his way. He stated in the wilderness that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus did the will of God and God only, not his own. Jesus instructed his disciples in Matthew 10, 5, and 7 as follows. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples did not include telling his disciples that they could give their opinion or do anything other than what was the will of God, right? Jesus made them servants of God that day. They were to use their platform to promote the kingdom of God only. Amen? When God called us to become ministers, he expected us to do his will. He expected us to use our platform, the pulpit, to promote his kingdom. He expects us to listen to him and do whatever he tells us to do. He expects us to lead our congregations to him and encourage them through the word. Mm-hmm. He expects us to fulfill the Great Commission as stated in Matthew 20, 19 and 20. Which states, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. When we do these things, then we are servants of God. When God gave me this word, I had to check myself. And I had to ask myself some very serious questions, very honest questions. Am I using this platform that God gave me to promote his kingdom? Am I putting my opinion into God's messages? Am I listening to him for his instruction? Am I encouraging people through this word? Am I doing God's will? It is my desire to do these things. And this message tells me that I am falling short on what God wants me to do. I must be better. I have to be better. I can admit when I'm wrong. And I repented and I ask for God's forgiveness. I'm not the only one falling short of what is required from ministers. Here's what God told me. We are using the pulpit to talk about things not pertaining to the word or to his will. We are called by God to preach his word, but we are giving our opinions in the pulpit. We are discussing politics in the pulpit. We're organizing protests or boycotts to help change the world. Right? Now, what we fail to realize is that God is the only one who can change the world, not us. We can march till the cows come home, but unless God touches the hearts of those in charge, they will not change. Right? We sometimes forget how much power God truly has. He can do anything. Where is our faith? Now listen, we boycotted retail stores, airlines, restaurants, etc. And if we are successful, they give us the bare minimum of what we were asking, just to keep their doors open. So what have we really accomplished? If someone is forced to make a change, then they have not changed their heart. And they made the change not because they care, because they do not want to lose money, right? We fail to change their hearts, and in the long run, they will make other changes into their business to compensate for the loss that we just gave them, okay? Either higher prices, something. They're going to change something to get that money back that we marched for, right? I heard recently about a group of ministers who got together to decide what to do about the economy. Well, we know the word tells us when two or more are gathered in his name, then he is among us, right? Since God is among us, why don't the group pray for God to make the changes and trust him to do so? You got all these powerful ministers in one room. All of them know the word of God. All of them are called by God. You can't tell me that if these ministers focused on that, there wouldn't be change. They can get a prayer through. Amen? We can do absolutely nothing of our own strength. But God can do all things. You with me? Amen. Instead, here's what we do. We pray for God's help, and then instead of trusting him, we go ahead and try to do the things on our own, feeling like we have God's blessing to do so because we asked, right? We are missing the point of prayer. And our lack of faith is why we continue to do these things. The results are temporary at best. And we must keep boycotting, marching, and protesting because of it. Okay? We are servants of God. We should know better, right? We think that it is the will of God to protest, boycott, or march. But it is the will of God that we trust him, that we lay our burdens and the burdens of our congregation at his feet. Right? We have an obligation to lift him up, not to take matters into our own hands. We have an obligation to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. No situation is too much for God. We have an obligation to provide hope for our congregation through the word of God and through prayer. Would you agree with on that? We have an obligation to do the will of God, not our own will. We have an obligation to serve God the right way. And check this out. We need to stop speaking on things that the people want to hear and start preaching on things that the people need to hear. There is a big difference. We shouldn't allow our congregation to tell us what we should talk about. This congregation is coming in because they're coming to church to hear from God, hear a message from God. We have factions in the church, outside the church, wherever, that try and dictate to the ministers what they should preach on Sunday. Right? That should not be the case. It's not about what the people want to hear. It's about what the people need to hear. Now, we do these things, whether we want to admit it or not. We do them because we're worried. I'm talking about the ministers now. The ministers are the ones that worry. Okay? Matthew 6, 25 through 34 states the following. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you shall eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, what shall I drink, or what should I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father already knows you need them, right? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, and that's the truth. Think about it. That's absolute truth. Let me give you an example about this. Now, child comes home from school. He's scared. He's worried. And he runs to his parents for support, right? The parent shows no fear. The child picks up on that and is reassured. And he stops worrying or having fear, right? Well, the people come to church looking for that same type of support in their times of trouble. Because let's face it, we all are going through something, right? They expect the ministers to ease their fears, their pains, and their worries, right? We can't help them if we have the same issues as the people do. We got to be prayed up. We got to make sure we're on the right page, doing the right thing at the right time. We are given a major job to help people, lead them to Christ, and to lead them out of their worries and out of their burdens. Give them hope through the word, right? We can't do that. We don't have any hope ourselves, right? It's like a blind leading a blind, right? That never works. We must continue to build our relationship with God. This will increase our faith and provide us with wisdom to know what to say according to God's will. That way we won't say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, right? It all starts with our relationship. As ministers, we should have a better relationship with God than most. Would you agree? We should be hearing from God what to say, what to do. If we're not hearing it, that means we got some work to do. We got to get closer to God so we can hear from him. So we don't make the mistakes we've made in the past. Because we've all made them. We all have made them. It is very important that as a minister, our relationship with God is tight. You know? We can't have outside distractions. Whatever's going on in the world is not as important as our relationship with God and how we do our congregations. That is our priority. That's why he called us. He didn't call us to do all that other stuff. He could have called somebody else, but he chose to call you. He called us to do this. This is our job. Nothing else is in comparison to that job. It's vital. It's very vital. Saints, Jesus told his disciples to do the will of God, right? Now, Jesus gave us a perfect example because he only did God's will, right? Which made him a true servant of God. And he wants us today to be the true servants as well. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord our God, in the name of Jesus, we come and thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, my Father. Thank you, my God. Father, I repent. I repent. I repent. Please forgive me, O Lord. Help me in my relationship with you so that I can do your will according to your will. So I can hear your voice and nobody else's. Help me, O Lord. Help us all, O Lord. You called us, Father. You didn't have to. You could have called somebody else. But you called us, oh Lord, to do your will. Help us to do your will. Help us to grow in you. We should be strong Christians. We should be the strongest Christians as ministers. We should be guiding our congregation towards you and giving them hope through the word. Help us to do that, oh Lord. Help us to fulfill what we're supposed to do, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us become true servants. Father, I pray, Lord, that this word will go forth throughout the land. May you be glorified in it. May we, even though it hurts to hear it, Father, we need to hear this word. I pray, Father, that this word will go forth and people will hear it and understand that it was a message of correction from you, but a message of love as well. You want us all to be true servants. Father, I pray, Lord, that many will hear this and be touched, Father. Be touched and moved by this word. May your will be done, Lord. I thank you, Almighty God, and ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.